Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Sports apparel titan Nike announced last week that the former NFL player known for kneeling during the national anthem to protest racial injustice would headline the new Just Do It campaign. The first ad in that campaign, featuring Colin Kaepernick, aired during the NFL season opener and continues to air despite a measure of public backlash, including from President Trump. The ad is voiced by Kaepernick and features him along with NBA star LeBron James, tennis champion Serena Williams, New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., marathoner Eliud Kipchoge, and skateboarder Lacey Baker, and inspirational athletes as well. Here's a cut from the ad.
If you're born a refugee, don't let it stop you from playing soccer for the national team at age 16. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
New York Times sports business reporter Kevin Draper has been covering the issue. He joins us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been probably obviously in the works for a while. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. I mean, Colin has been under contract to Nike for 7 years, including, during all of this time that he was protesting and was kind of out of the NFL. And so it was surprising to all of a sudden, to have him not feature in any campaigns, to all of a sudden be the face of one.
Mm-hmm. It's a calculated risk, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It's Nike saying they want to reach a different demographic that's hard to reach, a pretty young demographic that is skeptical of most things, and they think that Kaepernick, will help them reach that demographic.
He is the voice, literally, of it. It's not just about him. In fact, it had very little to do with him, right?
Right, exactly. He is voicing it, and his situation with the NFL is referenced in there. But it aspires to be about things larger than that.
He did sacrifice everything, so to speak. But Nike never actually gave up on him. That was something that we didn't hear much about.
Well, I think that's something that we're still trying to report out. Is kind of how did we get here? How did we get from a point where he's under contract, not in the NFL, and not in any ads. Nike's not producing merchandise, anything like that. And then he's the face of a campaign. They're soon going to be making shoes and T-shirts and whatever else with his name on it. And so how did we get there is the question that I still don't think has been fully answered.
How does Nike respond? I mean, what is the company's explanations for this choice?
They don't respond. They confirm a few things that, yes, they've re-signed him. Yes, they're going to be, rolling out these things. But when we ask kind of deeper questions about why and how, they choose not to answer them.
And analysts, what do they say? What are they telling you?
They generally kind of go with what the conventional wisdom here is, which is that it's risky, that they are risking alienating people, including, as you mentioned in the opening, President Trump has tweeted about it a couple times, and most companies try to avoid him tweeting about them. but the people that generally you would think to be unhappy about this aren't Nike's core audience. Older, typically whiter populations are not the people that are buying tons and tons of Nike apparel. It is usually younger people, a more racially diverse group, and those people have a generally much more positive opinion about Kaepernick than others.
And we know that the online sales increased 30% since the ad aired at the NFL opener. Besides Donald Trump, has there been much backlash from notable people?
Not from notable people. It's one of those things that I think we have to be pretty careful about in media, and that it's really easy to, go online and find three videos on Twitter or YouTube with someone burning their shoes or complaining.
Right.
You put it together and you say there's a backlash, people are, protesting or whatever. And certainly lots of people are mad about this. It was a trending topic across social media. There were lots and lots of people talking about it. But it's really going to be hard to tell what the full effect is until, Nike starts releasing their quarterly earnings reports and if they start saying what have they been seeing for sales. Right now, we just don't really know kind of what the impact has been.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the mathematics, the social equation that Nike has put out there in making Colin Kaepernick the front man for its the new Just Do It ad campaign. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You know, Kevin Draper, my guest from the New York Times Sports Business Reporter, I know that this issue spurred a conversation in my household over the weekend about not Colin Kaepernick necessarily, but about the whole taking a knee for the national anthem and what it means. There's a politician in Texas that's become quite well known, got on the Ellen DeGeneres show because of his explanation for it. Is it starting those kind of conversations? And again, we don't know what Nike wanted to do, but what are you hearing?
I think it's continuing those. I mean, that's one of the really interesting things here is that he started kneeling before the national anthem two seasons ago.
Right.
We saw a couple players do it, yesterday in the season opener. And so for 2 years, we've kind of had this running conversation about what does kneeling mean? What does it mean to protest? You know, what is he protesting? Is it right to say that it is disrespectful? You know, I think that's the fascinating thing is that somehow for 2 years, you know, you can barely get people to pay attention to anything for 2 minutes, mm-hmm. let alone 2 years. And yet here we are on the radio still talking about it.
Right. Which I guess is Colin Kaepernick's, you know, thumbs up to him for that.
Right. He has, you know, it's easy to be cynical, I think, about, oh, he's, you know, drawing attention or he's doing this, whatever. But he has started something that, you know, I'm not exactly sure what is the outcome of those conversations or has been positive or whatnot, but people are continuing in their families to have these conversations.
Nike has a contract with the NFL and a lot of sports teams across the country. A couple of smaller colleges, I think, have said that they're dropping their contract, which I'm sure isn't going to kill Nike. But what is the business of this? I mean, how is the NFL responding?
Well, that's one of there's a million fascinating things about this, and that is one of them, which is the NFL is the biggest sports league in the country, and most companies are, you know, very excited to be associated with the NFL, and the NFL kind of wields with a iron fist sometimes, and this is something that assuredly has not made the NFL happy. Mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick is currently suing the NFL, arguing that its owners colluded to keep him out of the league. He's also, you know, kind of started this thing that the NFL continually kind of doesn't know should they have a rule for how you have to act during the national anthem. And Nike went to, you know, one of the largest partners who isn't used to things like this and said, hey, we're going to do something that's going to make you guys unhappy. And the NFL is put in a tough position. They have a contract with Nike for, I don't know, almost 10 more years. They don't want to break that or do anything.
And there's nothing in the contract to forbid Nike from pursuing its own campaign.
As far as I'm aware, as Nike pointed out, Colin Kaepernick's not even an NFL athlete. He hasn't been in the league for a year. You know, they can't. And the NFL can say things about what uniforms Nike makes that people wear on the field, but they can't stop the company from associating with somebody who has nothing to do with the NFL at this point. And so the NFL's kind of backed into a tough position here where they don't really like it, but it also seems like there isn't much they can do about it.
Steve in Cincinnati, you're on the air. Hi, Steve.
Hello, how are you, ma'am?
Very good. What do you think?
Well, personally, first off, I don't think that this is about the national anthem or anything of that nature. I think it's about Nike and its product, and they see a way to get revenue from it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole national anthem issue, it's not about the national anthem.
Right.
African Americans and people of color have been some of the most patriotic people ever, but they have been mistreated. Let's face it. They went and fought in World War II and came back home and couldn't eat a sandwich at a Woolworths counter. When you talk about unfairness. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, they did collude against the man. Nike has a contract with him. And I'm all for what they're doing.
Well, I guess that's the, yeah. Well, Steve, thanks a lot. I mean, I guess the collusion, the issue will be resolved in a lawsuit, right?
Yeah, it's an arbitrator has ruled that that can move forward, and so we don't exactly know the timing, but sometime in the next few months, presumably, the arbitrator will rule whether or not NFL owners colluded to keep Kaepernick out of the league.
Steve, thanks a lot for that call. And then we have Donna in Medina. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, why is it that the NFL doesn't just stop playing the national anthem? Football games have nothing to do with patriotism or military service. Seems like they could just stop playing the don't play the anthem.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that started, I don't know, Kevin Draper, but from my understanding, is it started with the military had a contract with the NFL?
Well, I believe they're playing the anthem kind of well before that, but starting in, I want to say 2008, but it's definitely the late 2000s, the Department of Defense had a contract with the NFL for kind of various, you know, those huge flags you see on the field and military appreciation days and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also when the NFL changed the rule. It used to be the players were in the locker room while the anthem was played, but kind of along with this, players came out and were on the field during it. And so while it would solve the problem in one way, I think it would maybe create another problem where you would have millions of people kind of yelling about how the NFL isn't patriotic. You know, every other sport plays a national anthem beforehand, and so it might solve one problem while creating another.
But the question is, did they always? I mean, we have a sports historian coming on later on in the program that can probably answer some of those questions as well. Our last caller, though, Brian, made the point that this isn't about the national anthem. This is about making money. Nike, as we've mentioned, online sales have surged 30% since the ad started airing. Do you think it's something as, free market crass as just making money for Nike, or do they have a much of a history in this regard, Kevin Draper?
I mean, for one thing, they have to be kind of free market and crass in that it's a public company, and the board of directors and things like that have a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders to make as much money as they can. And so I think that's first the lens you have to look at Nike and any other public company, that whether or not they truly believe in kind of Colin Kaepernick's cause, maybe they don't, but they think that this is a way to make the company money, and they have to be thinking that way. They've used controversy in the past. They're the ones that famously had the ad where Charles Barkley talks about how he's not a role model. They had an ad almost 20 years ago where Tiger Woods talked about how there were still country clubs that he wasn't allowed into because of the color of his skin. And so I think sometimes they do things because they know it'll generate attention, and sometimes they may do it because they also truly believe in that message going across. But they have to make money, and that's what they're trying to do here.
And then again, the NFL and how it's responding, they've got, what can they do? It's the question of whether or not they'll cancel the contract. That could cost them a lot as well.
Right, and that's another one of those things where it might solve one problem while causing a few more problems.
Mm-hmm.
The league has released a kind of lukewarm statement where they talked about, supporting individuals' rights to protest and not much, they're not saying much else about that. I think because the thing that they're going to have to do is just kind of live with it.
What about the strategy of not making it all about Colin Kaepernick, it making it more about lots of other people of color and with other kinds of challenges?
Are you talking about Nike here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably smart, and that they're making it a larger thing. It is partially about Colin Kaepernick, and of course he's voicing this ad, but they talk about, LeBron James being bigger than basketball with contributing to opening a public school in Akron, Ohio, and Shaquem Griffin, a player who got his arm amputated when he was younger and still made it to the NFL. And so I think it's smart to kind of align this with larger things that nobody can kind of disagree with.
Right. Well, Kevin Draper, thanks a lot for joining us to talk about your coverage of this issue. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Kevin Draper, New York Times sports business reporter, covering the Nike campaign featuring former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who started taking a knee two seasons ago and has created quite a movement in the ever since then. We're going to continue talking about the strategy that Nike has taken and what it means going forward. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about corporate activism in light of the new Nike ad campaign that features Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL player. He started taking a knee during pregame performances of the national anthem to protest racial injustice two seasons ago. Joining us now to talk about that is Associate Professor of Marketing at the Fisher College of Business, Curtis Hotovit. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Curtis researches attitude change and persuasion, and he already has plans to discuss the Nike ad with his students this season. Also joining us by phone is sports historian and lecturer of history in the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at Arizona State University, Victoria Jackson. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Victoria is a former NCAA champion runner and retired professional track and field athlete. Victoria, you wrote that athletes have more power than they realize. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I was reflecting on, a lot of the quick takes after this news broke on Labor Day, and a lot of the focus was on Nike, understandably, and I thought that we needed to hear more from the athlete side of the endorsement equation. And it got me excited as a former athlete because it suggests that, there's a lot of potential here that's untapped. And that's related to the kind of cultural power of athletes and also the financial power of athletes. And we've seen simmerings of a movement. A lot of people are calling 2017, 2018 a moment of kind of reawakened athlete activism. And so I wanted to focus more on the athlete side of the equation.
What do you mean by reawakened? Do you mean since the Black Power moment at the Olympics in Mexico City or what?
I do, yes. It's convenient that this year is the 50th anniversary of the Olympic Project for Human Rights and that powerful podium protest moment in Mexico City. It was seriously a movement in 67, 68, grounded mostly on college campuses, actually. There's absolutely parallels with athletes seeing the power of sport to talk about things beyond the world of sport and their communities.
Everything from social, justice to what kind of cola you drink, right? I mean, Curtis Hotovit, that's a wide range of issues that athletes have influence over.
Yeah, certainly as a celebrity endorser, a very salient kind of thing for people and so on, people that they admire, pulls well for bringing people in to try out products and stay loyal to products.
And we use them in all different kinds of products.
The research has shown it's best to use them for products that they're relevant to. When you start using them, so they wouldn't use the product themselves and so on, they lose a bit of credibility. They do too much. There's ideas that if you're just someone for sale and you'll advertise anything and everything, then you lose credibility as an endorser.
Right, I'm thinking of Susie Chapstick right now. That made a lot of sense back in the day. She was a skier. I can't remember her name, though. I just remember the Susie Chapstick. This isn't the first time a major sporting goods brand has aligned with a certain athlete or stance. I mean, how do you compare and contrast, Curtis, previous kinds of ad campaigns?
I think it's very timely in this sense, very salient to people because of what's going on in society. When you have the president tweeting out things and making pronouncements and so on and so forth, I think it even adds greater attention to the issue. I think, you know, I just spoke with this in my morning classes to my students and told them I was coming here, and they're listening to the show today and may call in as well. Their reaction was they are very much in favor of companies that are authentic, that are really true to their values. And they see Nike as being true to their values by having Colin Kaepernick and this campaign come out the way it did and when it did.
Because as we mentioned earlier, it is a calculated risk.
Exactly.
We know that the online sales have gone up, but we don't know what's going to happen.
I think that most analysts are going to say that Nike made the right move. The core segment of consumers that are loyal to Nike are largely endorsing this campaign, mm-hmm. and they're going to do quite well long term for this sort of thing, despite the initial sort of tumbling that it saw.
Listeners like to hear from you. You can call us at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Charles in Westerville, you're on the air. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Ann.
Go ahead.
I'd go along with Nike and Colin Kaepernick, and I'm an old guy. I volunteered for the military in 1961, went down to Texas, and Texas right now they have a fabulous river walk and restaurants and things along the San Antonio River that runs mm-hmm. through the city, and when I got down there in 61. I was not able to be served at a restaurant on the Riverwalk, and I wanted to go see two things when I was in Texas. I wanted to go see the Alamo, and I wanted to see the Riverwalk mm-hmm. because I had heard about it. When I got down there, I was disappointed from both. Actually, I was disappointed three times. I went right back to San Antonio after I was moved around in the military for a while, and I went to a small city called Ohio State's quarterback is from Wichita Falls.
Okay.
And the guys were walking down the street with 45 revolvers on their hips when I was down there. And I asked the bus driver, I said, hey, can you take me back to the base? You know, I'm not used to this, you know, because I'm from Ohio. And the guy said, yes, I can take you back to the base. And he said, I spend most of my route on the base anyway. Hmm. But I was, you know, I went through a lot of emotions when I was in the military because I was from Ohio.
Yeah, so you're a veteran, are patriotic, and you like the commercial.
Yes.
Okay. Charles, thanks a lot for that call. If anyone else has a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The Victoria Jackson, the ad and the ad campaign itself has been criticized that it's disrespectful because Colin Kaepernick is disrespectful to the flag and to the national anthem. Is there any other precedent for something like this?
Well, you know, it relates to the caller Charles's comment. You know, people of color are veterans too, and athletes of color historically have been veterans too. If you take somebody like Jackie Robinson, who was court-martialed, he was serving because he was acting uppity, right? He didn't know his place and was frustrated by his treatment while he was in the armed forces, or you know, all the veterans who fought fascism abroad and then returned home to be discriminated against in their own country that was espousing these kind of American democratic values. So you're operating from a completely different positionality, much like Charles the caller, when your immediate response to people taking the moment of the anthem to call attention to issues in local communities like police brutality and systemic racial inequality, that is in line with, the symbolism behind the flag and the anthem and what this country represents. And it's just a completely different positionality. And so somebody like Colin Kaepernick using this moment to call attention to issues is you know, operating from a position of working toward the project of making the country live up to its values, its founding values.
Let's see. Zach in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Ann. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to your guests for speaking to this. You know, I own Traxler Printing here in Columbus, Ohio, and we're known for putting on a lot of charity campaigns for causes that may seem kind of to ride the line. And, you know, going back to the last one, which was the Me Too movement, before that, Zaya, the girl with the rainbow flag, we were also one of the first private companies in Columbus to publicly endorse Freedom to Marry Ohio several years ago. And I just wanted to call in as a local brand owner and say that, you know, we do have a certain amount of potential customers or customers fall out because of the position that we take as a privately held company in the public space. But in the end, for me as a small business owner, and I'm sure a lot of my staff, you know, it's things that we feel very strongly about. And if we can't be out and hands-on in the community volunteering our time to help progress these movements along, that the least we can do is come up with some sort of print campaign or charitable campaign to help back them. And I'm really hats off to Nike, you know, such a big company for, you know, doing this with Tiger Woods in the past and now Colin Kaepernick. It goes to show that there are hearts behind corporations, and it might not be favorable to everybody's opinion, especially how the current administration has driven the rhetoric in the wrong direction around what Colin Kaepernick's overall mission is with this. But, you know, I just, again, wanted to say it's a really hard decision to make as a business owner, but at the end of the day, we know that we're supporting good, and that's why we're here and helping drive this mission. So,
well, Zach, thanks so much for calling us.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you said, Curtis Hotovit, that analysts are saying this was a smart thing to do. This is going to make Nike money. What are they looking at?
The core brand equity of Nike, what Nike means to people.
Yeah.
And so brand equity is this concept of what's the value of the brand. You've got an accounting value of it, the monetary value, but you have the psychological value of Nike. And Nike taking on the slogan, just do it, 30 years ago, inspired indirectly by Gary Gilmore's execution, where Gary Gilmore basically, Dan Wyden of Wyden Kennedy was on the Nike campaign, Portland, Oregon, advertising company Wyden and Kennedy, and looking for inspiration. And Gary Gilmore had chosen to be executed by a firing squad for he was convicted of murder. And his last words were, let's do it. And Wyden approached Nike about changing that to just do it. And that's the origin.
I did not know that.
That's the origin of just do it. Sadly, it's an individual choosing to his own method of execution and let's get this over with sort of thing. So this is the 30th anniversary of that campaign starting, of that slogan, the slogan being associated with Nike.
Talk about having legs too,
right? Yeah. And so then, and it's you know, there's also other issues my students were talking about this morning that Nike just signed a longer term contract with the NFL. And so that contract was signed before this campaign came out. So it's interesting timing.
It is interesting timing. I was wondering, and I want to ask you this, is do you think this will change or could it affect future contracts and how organizations such as NFL, what the language might say?
You know, I think the NFL is – the NFL is looking to sell product. And if the majority of their consumers – want a certain kind of product, then they might bow to these sorts of things. And so there may be changes in that regard, in that sense. There may also be enough of an upswell of a movement on the part of consumers saying, no, we like this. We like what Nike's done. And this would be other franchises, other kinds of things that will take on those fans and so on.
You know, Victoria Jackson, as a sports historian, someone brought up the question of why the NFL has the national anthem performed before during pregame in the first place. And I know my recollection is it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way for even colleges or anything. This was there was a campaign put out by the Pentagon, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, if we go way back, the first time we think the song, it wasn't the anthem yet, actually, it was just the Star Spangled Banner, was played, was during the World Series in 1918 between the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox. And it was because you know, there was this troubling question, why are we still playing baseball when there's the Great War going on? So it was a way to kind of demonstrate, you know, patriotism during that war effort. But, you know, fast forwarding, and Howard Bryant has an exceptional book on this topic and has been doing a lot of speaking and writing on it. It's a post-9/11 phenomenon more than anything, this kind of accelerated conflation of militarism, patriotism, and sport, and especially American football, that we just – see more of this sort of effort in a post-9/11 world as a way to kind of express patriotism in a space that's had a very long history of being connected to the military. And yes, I mean, we did have this moment of paid patriotism when the Department of Defense was paying the leagues to do these like reunions of soldiers coming home and being reunited and the military flyovers and that sort of thing as well.
Is that sort of de rigueur now, Curtis Hodovit, that since 9/11, we see it, the patriotism, jingoism in some cases, infused in a lot of different messages from lots of different kinds of organizations, right?
Yeah, there's elements of patriotism. I mean, whenever there's sort of fear in the world, we tend to close in a bit, and that's probably an indication of it, that we feel more comfortable with those sorts of things. I found it interesting that initially Kaepernick's protest was sitting, not kneeling. Initially, he sat.
That's right.
And it was a discussion with a Green Beret that he suggested he kneel because that was more honorable, and that's what they did to honor fallen soldiers and so on and so forth. So it was a military person that suggested that he kneel during the national anthem rather than sit.
Because that, I mean, that is showing a level right. of respect. Muhammad in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Muhammad.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. You're on.
Yeah, my name is Muhammad, and I'm living in two different countries. I'm originally from Somalia, but I'm now a U.S. citizen. So when I saw those kind of like things going on about the flag, I feel very, very sad about, you know, when you are trying not to stand up the flag. That's, I feel like very, 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 you know, sad. Because when your flag is up and you have a government defending, you have a name and you have a reputation entire of the world. But when you are like a citizen and not showing that you're respecting the, you know, your flag, it means like, I mean, it means like you're showing you're not like, I mean, respecting the flag.
All right. I want to turn from Muhammad now to Kim and Powell, who has a different point of view on this. Kim, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I have very strong opinions about Colin Kaepernick's right to protest. Our country is a country of freedom of speech. I have long family history of military adherence, and that's the man doing. He's protesting police brutality against black people. That is, he's not disrespecting the flag. He's not disrespecting the American military. He's calling attention to brutality, and he has that right. And these people who are violently protesting Nike's ad campaign are showing that they don't believe in freedom of speech unless it applies to them.
Right. Well, what about what Muhammad just said about disrespecting the flag? Do you not see kneeling as a form of disrespect?
You know, growing up, I loved the national anthem. Yeah. I still do. I get goosebumps when it plays. I get goosebumps when I see our flag flying freely. But that's the point. It's free, and not everybody has to agree with standing for the national anthem.
Okay.
And I believe that that protesting something that is happening in our country calls attention to it, not disrespecting the flag. It's saying, hey, look, we've come a long way, but we've got a lot more yet to do.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. We are going to return to the conversation after a break. My guests, Curtis Hodovit, he is Associate Professor of Marketing at the Fisher College of Business at Ohio State. And also by phone, Victoria Jackson. She's a sports historian at the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at Arizona State University. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about corporate activism in light of the new Nike ad campaign that features Colin Kaepernick, the NFL player or former NFL player who started to take a knee 2 seasons ago during pregame performances of the national anthem to protest racial injustice. Still with us is Associate Professor of Marketing at Fisher College of Business at OSU, Curtis Hodovit, and also sports historian and lecturer of history in the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at Arizona State University, Victoria Jackson. Questions or comments? Give us a call. What do you think about the new Nike campaign? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Curtis Hodovit, we were talking off the air and you said really there's one line in this ad campaign that maybe bugs people more than anything. One of your students brought it up. Tell us about that.
A student mentioned that had they not used the tagline, sacrificing everything, it might not have got as much rebellion in the ad. I mean, for military people and so on and so forth, they lost friends, they lost colleagues on the battlefield, and so on. And Kaepernick lost a job, basically.
Yeah.
In many ways, a lot of people are okay with his sort of protest and so on, a peaceful protest. But the sacrificing everything rubs people the wrong way, pushes too far.
Carlos in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Carlos.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say I heard something in an earlier comment saying that Nike was being brave, and I don't really see them as being brave with this ad campaign. Like, young Black people are their demographic. They have an amazing representation among young Black people, and Colin Kaepernick is standing up for us. And so they've logged almost $200 million in free advertising because the Trump followers are really mad and we're having discussions like this. It's just millions and millions of dollars of free money for them that helps tell their core customer they do in fact care about us.
Okay. All right. Carlos, thank you for the call. What is that telling you, Curtis?
I think he's right. I think they are getting free PR, and then it's amplified big time by having people discuss things at the water fountain over dinner and so on. That's always a plus for companies. I think that getting this conversation going more broadly of why Kaepernick is doing what he's doing, was doing what he was doing on the football field, is also an important conversation to have in society. And hopefully that doesn't get lost in the fray.
Victoria Jackson, I wanted to ask you about the commercialization of big-time college sports, of the NFL. That hasn't always been with us either, has it?
Well, yes and no. As far as athlete endorsements, that's the newer component of this. But no, I mean, the very first intercollegiate athletic contest was a rowing competition just before the Civil War, actually. And it was on Lake Winnipesaukee, hosted by a resort. And it was, the purpose of it was to make money.
Okay. All right. I'm so naive. I'm so pathetic.
But the athlete endorsement part is new, and that's actually where athletes have more power than they realize. This is a relatively recent phenomenon because, the Olympic movement was amateur until about the 1980s. And so, that was the greatest stage for athletes to compete on. So you couldn't sign endorsement deals until after you competed in the Olympics.
And then that disqualified you from future Olympics.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, now we're in a different landscape. And, you know, Michael Jordan kind of set this model of kind of trying to stay as apolitical as possible to maximize your profitability. But we're seeing that isn't necessarily true, that you actually can, as an individual athlete, you know, be authentic. And you know, maybe MJ was being authentic and not wanting to engage in politics, but somebody like LeBron James, mm-hmm. you know, he can do both. He can be both, you know, the highest paid athlete, best athlete in the world, and committed to social justice and do both things well at the same time and kind of become a global icon because of his activism as much as because of his athleticism.
Sawyer in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Sawyer.
Hey, how are we doing? I was just wondering, do we realize that America has three United States flags, and the flag that we currently see everywhere is our maritime wartime flag, and our actual flag, our peacetime flag, has not flown since the Civil War, and it's our stripes going up and down, and instead of a blue square with 50 white stars, it's 50 blue stars and a white background.
Hmm.
And what are we doing to try to really look at that and realize that we've been in war, not
since
just overseas, but at home with economics and police brutality against its citizens?
Hmm.
And that's, at the end of the day, what this is really referring to.
Let's ask, I mean, Victoria Jackson, I haven't heard of the other flags.
I haven't either, but I think, you know, this caller's comment relates to an earlier caller's comment about, you know, whether or not Nike's being brave and taking this on. And, you know, speaking to serious issues in U.S. society. And, you know, that actually is where we have an opportunity and athletes have an opportunity to say, okay, Nike, you've decided, like, you've decided to take this on. Are you going to do something substantive with this now, or is it just going to be kind of, you know, riding the wave of this?
Yeah.
So it is a moment in which, you know, if you want substance behind the symbol, it's time to put pressure on Nike to do more internally, right? We've heard about a corporate culture that's misogynistic and discriminatory towards women. Locally with athletes, are you going to actually do something substantive in, you know, these partnerships with athletes who are doing a lot of good work on the ground in their communities? And, you know, globally, there's still ongoing stories and groups committed to exposing working conditions in some of Nike's factories around the world as well.
What's the calculus on that, Curtis?
I think she makes an excellent point that in the age of social media and so on, people can easily check and get information, garner information about what's going on with these companies, and put subtle and not so subtle pressure on companies to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak. And that's a nice sort of would be nice to see what their follow up's going to be
yeah.
to this sort of thing.
Steve in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I just want to say that people are talking about Colin Kaepernick disrespecting the flag. Well, there's certain ways that you disrespect the flag. Kneeling is not one of them. Actually, when you wear the flag in print, like a shirt, cap, or something like that, that's when you disrespect the flag.
Mm.
When you drop the flag on the ground, that's how you disrespect the flag. When you put the flag up into your window, that's how you disrespect the flag. The flag should be on the pole. And there's a certain way it should fly. And if you don't do that, then you're disrespecting the flag.
Steve, thanks a lot for your call. 614-292-8513. I'm going to do my best. Charlotte in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, how are you doing? I just wanted to say very quickly, if I can, I'm astounded at the ebb and flow of these, what I call jingo patriotism debates versus public showing versus actually living, if you will, the secular faith of being an American. When I was a kid in grade school in 64, mm-hmm. in a public school, at the beginning of our weekly assembly, we had to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, the American Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Protestant version, and we had a Bible reading, Protestant version. Fast forward to 1970, when I graduated from high school, most of those kids were gluing those white peace signs against the Vietnam War on their mortarboards as they went to high school graduation. And they were being told that, oh, you're being disrespectful. And we were right near the Fort Monmouth Signal School, where my father taught those kids going to Vietnam how to keep their radios going and not get killed.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
What bugs me is this jingle patriotism. If these people are so patriotic, I've got a great-granduncle buried in Gettysburg, and I've got a nephew serving in the 6th Fleet tickling Putin's belly button. You want to be the patriot, and you want to be the militaristic patriot, by all men, march your youngins down to the recruiting office because they can use kids. And by the way, I too did serve under a chief master sergeant who thought that women, blacks, and Hispanics did not belong in electronics because we couldn't handle it.
Okay. Charlotte, thanks a lot for that call. I do want to get to Elizabeth in Columbus. Hi, Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a couple of quick points. First of all, I congratulate anyone who is standing up for their causes, but there's a place to do that, and that's not in your place of employment. Secondly, I do believe that the NFL would take Colin Kaepernick back, and there is no collusion because he's not a good player. They'll take anybody back. Michael Vick and other players have come back to the NFL after terrible issues. So at any rate, I just wanted to make those two points and that, you know, good luck to him.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot for your call. I don't know. We don't have anybody qualified to address whether Colin Kaepernick is a good player, but that I guess it's debatable. But I've always heard that he was an excellent player. I don't know. I mean, he was playing, that's for sure, when he was let go to free agent. So it wasn't like he was warming the bench all those years. Be that as it may, which puts him in kind of a super athlete category by my calculations, but you know, who knows. One more call. John in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm kind of responding to Muhammad's earlier call and
about disrespect to the flag. Yeah,
exactly. And I disagree with his position, but he is also a brand new American, you know, and he doesn't perhaps understand, coming from another country that did not have the same freedoms that we've got. And it may take him and folks like him a while to kind of get with the program, to understand that, you know, our freedoms here allow us to do stuff like protest.
Thank you very much, John, for that call. The history of all of this, going back, Victoria Jackson, to the caller before, there is a history to this. Sports events are different than other places of business, are they not?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we can speak to the employment conditions of the space of professional sport, and the league has. The NFL and the NFLPA are, you know, the NFL had put in place a policy that was going to fine players and penalize teams if athletes decided to do something out of line, according to the NFL's rules, during the playing of the national anthem. But because of pushback and because the NFL Players Association wasn't consulted in the development of that policy, it's been put on hold. So right now, athletes can, in the NFL, continue to raise a fist or take a knee during the playing of the national anthem without any penalty to their team or individual fine.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I wanted to ask Curtis real quick before we have to go. Do you see other companies, other brands embracing this kind of activism now?
I think we're going to see a trend, actually. I'll predict that we're going to see a trend of companies doing, especially seeing how Nike stuff plays out. If it plays out well for Nike, it'll be a bandwagon effect of a bit here.
Well, Curtis Hodovit, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Curtis Hodovit is the Associate Professor of Marketing at Fisher College of Business at Ohio State. And Victoria Jackson, thanks to you as well for getting on the phone with us.
Thank you so much.
Victoria Jackson, she's a sports historian and a lecturer of history in the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at Arizona State University. Thanks to all the listeners, all your calls. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.